Well, God is good, isn't that right? And we got through the big screen series. I believe I was able to minister every weekend throughout the big screen series by way of video and then a few times live. But I got to say, the biggest question that comes out of big screen is it a green screen or am I actually on the side of the cliff and all this stuff? And I just want to let you know I was there and I felt the pain, man. I don't like heights, but we're glad we got through so many decisions for the Lord. Would you give the Lord some praise for every decision for him during the big screen series? Thank God for that. But I want to be clear that we are a church, man. And the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. That's good news, isn't that right? But it can prevail against you. Because you're not designed by God to be alone. You need a church family. There's a lot of people that have gotten themselves convinced that they don't have to have a church family. Show me one verse in the Bible that says that. And in fact, some people go so far as to say this. Sounds good on paper and when they first articulate it. But they'll say, all I need is God. I don't need anyone else. This is just not true. We do need God. How many love God? Wave at me. But the Bible says you confess your sins to God and he'll forgive you. But if you confess your sins one to another, you'll be healed. We have a lot of people who are forgiven, but they're not healthy because they're alone. You cannot do it. Yes, we're a large church. I don't apologize for that. But we've somehow become large. I didn't know we were going to be large. I do not think that a large church is better. I do not think that every church has to be large. I do believe that the Bible asks for churches to grow. In the early church, at least one person a day. The Bible says the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So I do believe that churches should grow, but not large, but way more than the size of the church. Because the early church, they were having thousands a day get right with God. But I do believe we have to grow smaller at the same time. You can't just hide out in a crowd. You have to be connected. I've been serving the Lord now since 1981 with all of my heart. So some times when I wasn't doing well, but I know that the times where I was at the peak of my relationship with the Lord, it was when I was connected. I'm still in a small group every week myself, and I know I have to have that, so just stay tuned on that. But here's what I want to show you. We're in the year of the Bible. And I'm not going to scream this sermon. I'm not going to have volume in the sermon. But if you could somehow hear the inside of my heart, it would be literally grabbing. Like if I was talking to a man here, I would grab you by the collar for you to get what I'm about to say. Because I don't get it either sometimes, and it hurts me. And this week in reading the Bible, in the year of the Bible, we came across the scripture in Psalms 34:5. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Could y'all look here for a minute? When I train pastors, like when they come in, we had 700 pastors here recently, and we were training them on what to do, and sometimes they come in smaller groups. But when I talk to them about how to grow in their relationship with God or how to grow their church or whatever it might be, they're always taking notes, like they're leaning in, listening. But when I get to the topic of today, they put down their pen or their technology and they check out. Because it's boring to them. I don't know if it's because, like, hey, we already learned that. That's 101, bro. I don't know, but I do know when you go to speak to people about prayer, And the way that prayer has to coexist with your life, this is when people, they check out. And I understand that. So here's the good news. As a church, we have never done better. We are growing, and all the indicators are things like that. But there's one place in our church where we are right now, we are sick. So where we're doing well is our vision. I've never been so excited. Like I tell Michelle, I can't hardly sleep at night because I'm so happy about things that are happening. We're adding campuses. Soon we will be in Mayflower and Pine Bluff. You can't reach a state of Arkansas without reaching Pine Bluff, or you're going to have to apologize to God. Isn't that right? And we're going to be in downtown Little Rock. We have a coalition and a pastor. We are ready to go to Benton and Bryant. Come on, somebody. We're going to be there. And Jonesboro, and it goes on and on. We now have a campus in BB. We'll officially launch that in about a month. So we're stretching. We're opening up a school of ministry. I wanted to call it church school, but it's just so tacky. But I want to teach people how to do children's ministry and junior high ministry and to be a student minister or college or a senior pastor or worship leader in the creative arts and prayer, and on it goes. Some of you are called by God to do something great in ministry, and you're in the right church to get that done because we have to have you. There are people that you know right now who are lost. They're smoking pot right now, and you're going to bring them in. They're going to get right with God, and they're going to be a pastor at our church. I didn't say the pastors here smoke pot. I didn't say that. But you're friends, okay? That's what I said. Please don't get it wrong. I don't know, Matt. You never know. I love that brother. So the good news is that. But here's the bad news. About 4 or 5 times, I have felt uncovered in prayer. Like what we're trying to do, my own life, the leaders that are here, and right now is one of those times. I believe that we are not being covered in prayer. And in fact, it's a scary thing. I'm not talking about worried about my life or your life. I'm not, that's not what I'm referring to. I mean, We have to be there in prayer. Can somebody say amen to that? So the Lord is, I'm so excited, because the Lord showed me how I can get everybody here to pray every day. And it's a simple vision. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. I mean, even business, like men who are going to be going through hunting season, you'll be able to pray throughout the season. People that are addicted to football, who like it's football season, you'll still be able to do this. Women who are single moms trying to keep the plates spinning in life, we will be able to do this. So prayer, I just want to motivate you about prayer, because I am concerned as a pastor that we are not being covered in prayer. But someone sent me a quote this week. In fact, it was 2 days ago. People should know the size of my God by my vision. This is what they sent me, and I was like, wow, I believe that. But the rest of the story is people should know the size of my God by the way that I pray. So let me do a survey, because I know a lot of you do not pray much, so it's very discouraging. Like, you're already trying to, like, I need to go to the bathroom, or what, stuff like that. So let me just be clear. All around this room, if you believe in the power of prayer, would you lift up your hand? I just want to know, okay? But be honest on this one, too, all right? You got to be honest on this one. But how many of you do not pray like you believe in the power of prayer? Come on, hold it up high. Be honest in here. And this is the problem. We think about the condition of our nation, and some of you want to go off grid, just you don't even know what to do. And I can't, because off grid, you got to milk cows, and your wife has to sew. Ain't going to happen. All right. So that's that. But I do know that God is stirring up our hearts to be people of prayer. This week, we got hit as a church several times. Two of our staff people were in a very serious car accident. One of them broke their ankle. There was a man killed, not that's on our staff, but they hit someone else, and this elderly man, he died right there. And I was getting this phone call and was trying to put it all together, and I didn't know what had happened. So I went to Facebook, which, you know, you got to be really bored to go to that place. But I went to Facebook and I posted prayer. I said, please pray. And I put my computer over to the side as I was praying and preparing some things. And I started getting on my Facebook. It was like bing, ding, bing, 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 just like ding, ding. It was going crazy. And I went over and I was, what is that? I'd never heard that sound before. And it was people saying, I'm praying right now, just over and over, praying, praying. And I just, all of a sudden, I thought, I wonder when heaven looks at this church, how many bings it gets. Like, how many people, like, are there when God says, I want you to pray about these things? How many of you are there? What you don't want to do is be a Christian like the way Les Miles coaches football, for crying out loud. He's only got three plays. They're all on the ground. He has no air game. And anybody can beat him. And that we have a Heisman Trophy candidate who will never win because we don't throw the ball in the air. And some of you, you've got like three plays for God, and you have no air game. We've got to get into the air is kind of a weird word to use in church, but this is what prayer is. And it's a time where you get into the spiritual and you are praying like, Lord, I want you. And I want to be a follower of you. Guys, our nation is in big trouble. I'm not a doom and gloom person. But the hope of the world is the church, but we're not praying like we have hope. This verse, 2 Chronicles, sees a group of people who are very concerned about what was happening, but look what happened in the end. It says, listen, all you people, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. That's a move right there. That would be prayer. If you seek him, you will find him. Very important word here is the word if. In other words, none of this is automatic. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without God's law. So have you ever seen a nation that was just no longer with the Lord? But in their distress, they turned to the Lord and sought him, and he was found by them. Where does all this happen? It happens in prayer. This is where it goes down, in prayer. But here's the alarming verse that I will read in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. This verse, I don't necessarily like it very much because it scares me as a pastor. This is God speaking. I looked in vain for anyone who would build again the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Who can stand in the gap? But I found not one. When I see that number, I can't help but think about, I wonder what the stats are of who God is going to find here. Like even in your home and in your household. So I was reading about E.M. Bounds this week, and he's a great theologian who emphasized prayer over and over. He wrote, the church is always searching for better methods and things like that. But God is always searching for better men and women, people who will pray. He's the guy that said the devil will scoff at your efforts and he'll laugh at your tryings, but he shudders in the presence of anyone who is on their face before a mighty God. So I want to motivate you to be a person of prayer, because how many of you would say, if I were just to ask, that you believe that God loves us and that he wants to do something great in our lives? We would all say yes, but if I were to ask how many of you pray, I think if the average person in our nation prayed like you, like the average person here, I often wonder what the land would be like that we live in. What would Arkansas be like? What would the city you live in be like? What would your household be like? But I don't have to wonder, because we already know what it's like. And I think it's completely related to the way that we engage in prayer. This week we were reading in the year of the Bible about Nehemiah, and he looked at Jerusalem and he had compassion like it had fallen, and he was so concerned. So he prayed, he said, God, give us favor. Then he confessed sins, but not of just the nation, but of his own household. He said, Lord, I know we've all sinned, but in my home too. He got very honest, and then he put watchmen on the wall, like he picked a time. And here's the vision I want to ask everybody here to sign up for. In 2 Chronicles, which is a verse that we often call out, and we talk about how if my people will humble themselves and pray, if they will, and they'll call out God, like if we'll call out and repent, that he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land, but only if we repent. And so I was thinking 2 Chronicles 7:14, and here's where the vision comes. It came from reading Nehemiah. He had a watchman. He had people at certain times praying. Everybody out loud say 7:14. Come on, say it one more time. What I'm asking everybody to do, some double entendre in all of this, but here's the simple of it. At 7:14 every day, a.m. and p.m., with the number 7, 7 days a week. The number 14, I've given you a break on that, 1 to 4 minutes every day. 7:14 a.m., set reminders on your phone. 7:14 p.m., you can pick one or both. And from 1 to 4 minutes for you to pray. I'm going to teach you exactly how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. First, I want to tell you why a lot of us do not pray. I think it's for things like this. Number one, if you're taking notes, it's because we're distracted. And I know I'm ADD. Raise your hand if you're ADD. Okay? The real ADD people, they forgot why they were raising their hand. And then, so if you're praying, it's like, oh, God, Lord, I love you, squirrel. You know, it's kind of, and it's like Netflix, my phone. We get distracted. I was reading this week that the average person spends a ton of time, like watching TV, on their phone. Here, look at some of these stats. The average person, now young people, they got this beat by a long shot. But the average person spends 50 minutes a day on Snapchat, Instagram, social media, Facebook. 2 hours watching TV. I got this. This is such a huge variation in number. I don't know which one it is, but it was a study done by several people on how many times does a person check their phone a day. And it's somewhere between 150 times on average a day to 1,000 times a day checking the phone. I don't know how much time all of this takes, cumulatively speaking, but I believe my God, your God, our God is asking, can you please spend some time with me? 7:14, two different times a day, 1 to 4 minutes. I'm convinced that the lack of prayer is not due to the lack of time, but from the abundance of distractions. Number two, we're drained. That's another reason why we don't pray. We're just tired. Some of you couldn't wait for the summer. It's like, I can't wait for the summer. I need a vacation. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm just so tired. And you went on vacation. You came back, and you're more tired. Because it's not just always physical and mental. Sometimes it's spiritually. We're drained. And it just pulls us down. It's just, well, how do you kick that in? Prayer. Sometimes we don't pray because we're doubtful. Sometimes we don't pray because God seems so distant, like in another galaxy. I was thinking about the movie Meet the Parents when he was put on the spot to pray. I don't even remember that scene. And it's like he's like, man, I don't know this God. I hope I can ace this. And he just prayed something like, oh, dear God, thank you for this day and each day. By day, by day, by day. Oh, Lord, the three things we pray. To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen. So how do you pray? I mean, if he is this huge God, how do you pray? Well, interesting enough, when we say the Lord's Prayer, you may think that God would want you just to pray the Lord's Prayer, and that would be totally cool. But he's not asking for us to pray the Lord's Prayer. He's asking us to pray in that manner. Like they outline, there's huge components in that prayer that if we could invite into our lives. So what I try to do is take the Lord's Prayer and write a general prayer that we can pray in it that takes about 1 to 4 minutes every day. And so I want to teach you on these. Number one, you can see in the Lord's Prayer, the Father's heart in prayer. Let's write that down. The Father's heart in prayer. Where? In the very first part of it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say that with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One more time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is saying, when you start out praying, at least see the magnificent side of the Father God in his name. Like, just start out by giving that kind of respect. My son Hunter, when we first moved here. He's just a little kid, and at that time there was a song that was real popular. I don't remember the name of it, but in the lyrics it said, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross." And he would sing it this way. "You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. My dad will pay." That's what he said. Well, I get that. But what I don't think we get is the payment of the Father God. For you to have access to him by giving his son. If you don't have kids, you never could understand this. But Romans 8:14, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father." Look, there can come a time where you get so close to the Lord where it's like Abba Father. These words, if you look them up, they're terms of endearment. It would be better said, and some translations say it this way, that you see you're a child of God and you call him Daddy, Daddy. It's amazing how we can frame this, like to know how much he wants to be around us. Some of you, you didn't necessarily have a great father. Maybe your father was an absentee father. Maybe your father didn't love you. I had a young man tell me recently his father never told him that he loved him all the days of his life. Never said, I'm proud of you. When we see songs like, he's a good, good father, some of you might not be able to relate to that because maybe you didn't have a good, good father. Might have been a really bad father. I don't know. But I'm telling you, you have a great father in God. He's consistent. He's not erratic. And he's in love with you. And he wants you to be around him. He's not trying to kick you out. He's trying to pull you in. Number two. So the actual prayer, by the way, in that is, Lord, I love you. That you could say this, Lord, I love you, and I'm confident that you are a great father and worthy to be praised. Number two, the big picture of prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I just want to explain this. Really, that statement, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, that is very redundant. And in fact, theologians would tell you that that sentence is just the same thing twice. When it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, those are the same. If you're doing the will of God, like you're fighting for the will of God, the kingdom of God is in on that. There's no segregation in those at all. And I just want to make sure you understand that a lot of times the Bible says, don't live your life this way. It says it in James. Don't wake up and say, hey, I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to do that, or I've got this business idea, I'm going to build that, or I'm going to do these things. Don't do that. But first say, if this is your will, God, this is what I'm going to do. In your prayer time, it's about how big God is, but it gets selfish too. Like, what is the will of God for your life? And this is where God reveals himself to you. An actual prayer out of this is, Lord, I don't want to waste anything, or I don't want to miss anything, or Lord, I don't want anything that doesn't agree with your will in life. Please, God, make my desires your desires. I want your plan for my life. Number three, the daily need of prayer. Where he says, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is not saying, hey, I'm into carbs big time. That's not what he's saying. Daily bread. I believe, look here, the Lord is saying, I want to supply your needs. The fundamentals. I've never been a prosperity preacher. That's just not how I'm wired. I'm also not a poverty preacher. But I am a provision preacher. Like, I believe that God knows your needs, and he wants to be in on the equation to solve the issues. But it's not just about daily bread, like the basic fundamentals in our home. This is also talking about the Word of God. And a big complaint that Christians have nowadays is they go to churches, and I talk to these pastors, and they go, our people are always complaining, this is what they tell me, that we don't get fed enough. We don't get fed enough here, that I don't feed them enough as a pastor. And these pastors are so discouraged. I said, bro, the reason why they're saying, our people say that too. But it's your job to tell them it's their responsibility to self-feed. Because the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Like, we can give you a 7-course meal here, but tomorrow you got to feed again. Can somebody say amen? You got to get in the Word yourself, man. And the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, God would give them enough manna for that day. And then the next day, enough manna again. To me, this all reminds me of being married. Like, Michelle, this is dangerous right here. Michelle is like, she's like, okay, Lord, help me, Lord, Lord. Oh, Father, would you art in heaven? It's like she's, okay, let's use just wife, okay? It's like they are a bottomless pit with love. Because you can pour it all day long in there, but tomorrow, it's bone dry. You're going to have to pour again. It's not what you've done for me lately, it's what did you do for me today? Now, Michelle's not high maintenance, but I believe that God has made her to desire love and consistent love from me. It's every day. You can't just hit it out of the park in January of 2014 and milk that for the rest of your life. I told you I loved you when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll tell you. It's just not how it works. Actual prayer, Lord, please help me and others today with our needs and make me hunger for your word throughout the day. Number four, the repentance prayer. Could y'all look here for a minute? This is where, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's two things in this. When you're praying, the Lord gave this manner of prayer because at some point in it, you got to say, Lord, I'm a sinful person. And you name what it is. And then you think about people that have hurt you. And you ask God to help you forgive them. Now, a lot of the times, the reason why people don't forgive is because they think, well, I can't forgive them because then I have to trust them. And I've taught this so many times. It almost is embarrassing for me to teach it again because I feel like everybody's heard it so much. But trust is not forgiveness. And forgiveness is not trust. If someone's hurt you again and again and again, I say run for cover. They may be able to build trust again. That can happen because we're believers and we give people another chance. But it's a long period of time sometimes before you should trust them again. But forgiveness can be done instantly. So we always say the saying, well, you got to forgive and forget. No, that's a slogan. It's not Bible. Bible says you forgive and remember. And so one time Peter went to Jesus and go, how many times I got to forgive? Like seven times? Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And the Lord wasn't trying to say 490 times or 80 times. I don't know how to multiply. I'm a Cajun. He wasn't trying to say 490 times. He was trying to say, if you know how many times you've forgiven, you haven't forgiven at all. That's just good preaching right there. Here's a prayer that can come out of that. Lord, I repent of all of my sin and times when I hurt others, and I pray to forgive the people who have hurt me. Number five, the protection of prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Look, the enemy doesn't have to have a key to the front door of your house to get you to fall. All he has to find is a window in the back of the house that's cracked open. And the Bible says he'll worm his way into that crack and try to gain control over the whole house. And he can then walk through the front door with swag like, I got this house. At some point, it's, Lord, I got some temptations in my life, and I need you to protect me. Temptation is not sin. But moving towards the temptation is sinful. So that we get our strength when we're admitting to God in the incubator of it, like when you first sense it happening. Here's the prayer, Lord, please protect me from areas of weakness and sin in my life. And then number six, this is the last one, the eternal perspective. You can see it in this prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I've said it this way for years. I just want to pass to you for a second. That I always wonder what the stats are going to be with the people here who are going to heaven. I hope we do really well in that number. And then I think about how many people are being discipled. I hope we're doing well there. Now, how many people are praying? But one day, if you're born again, you get to go to heaven. Raise your hand if you want to do that. Okay. When you get there, there's no faith at all in heaven. We exercise our faith here. There's no faith because you'll be able to see. Faith can only exist when you can't see. So young people, get this, please. Because eternity is going to happen. And when you pray, this is about eternity because it changes the way you live when you have the end in mind. So one day when we see the power of his name and how huge God is, there's this verse in the Bible that I've talked about that he says he's going to wipe away a tear there. It says he's going to wipe away every tear, but I wonder what that tear will be. And I think it might be related to prayer. Because it might be when you see how big God is, how powerful he is, with no faith involved in it, like you just see it, I wonder if we'll look back to now and think, why didn't I pray more? Why didn't I live my life with more love and more kindness, like more forgiveness? If I would have known he was this big, I would have had more faith. I would have sought him. I wouldn't have been afraid. I wouldn't have been a ball and chain to the church. When it was time to give, there's no way I would have tried to pull back. I would have jumped in when it was time to serve. I would have believed. If I would have known he was this big. And then at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it says, amen. This is where everyone agrees together that we're going to pray like this. And that's the hope from the Spirit of God that we all have. Listen, I'm begging you, 7:14, morning and evening, to spend 1 to 4 minutes a day praying. And if all you do is say the Lord's Prayer, let's just up the water table spiritually and seek God together. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for this church, for what you're doing in our lives. And we are desperate for you, God. Help us, Lord, as we sing this song, the Lord's Prayer. I pray that we be completely engaged with you. In Jesus' name. Stand up all around this room. Listen, we're going to sing this song. But I don't want you just to sing it. I want you to get this into your heart. Like, let it motivate you to be a person of prayer. This song is huge. Let's sing it together in one spirit. Come on, let's enjoy.